Hey everybody, Dennis Prager here. Welcome to my home for our fireside chat, which we have pretty much weekly. And I never had a guest on this fireside chat, other than you who are watching. But I do have a special guest. Special, let me think.
I better be special if I'm the first one.
You're so right. Dave Rubin, who is really well known and deservedly so, by the way. A lot of people are well known. There's no good reason for it, but there is good reason. He has an extremely popular podcast and YouTube podcast. Or is it a YouTube video? What do you call
it? YouTube show.
YouTube show. That's it. Which is very popular and getting a lot more popular, even in addition. He has done the Prager University video this week, Why I Left the Left. And it took some guts for him to do it in all seriousness. For a number of reasons, and we're going to go through all of those reasons, but I have an agenda that it transcends all politics and morality and any other subject, and that is I am going to teach him the joys of cigars. You say you've had one in your life?
I've had maybe three
maybe
in my
three.
Entire life, but I think only really smoked one
okay,
about 2 years ago.
Okay, so I am going to teach you and him, take a minute here. There's an art to this, and I love the art part. I love the lighters. I love the cutting. So now I gave him a very expensive Cuban cigar, by the way, just for the record. So now there were three ways to cut
a
cigar.
I'm a little unclear. That was expensive on your scale of cigars because you had it on your desk. You kind of threw it at me like, I don't need this one.
I didn't kind of throw it at you. I threw it at you.
You threw it at me.
I really,
yeah, yeah. But I feel like you have very
no,
high.
I really, I tossed it to you. I don't say threw it at you.
Yeah.
So here is one type of cut where you cut the tip off. It is sort of like a circumcision. Well done, Dennis. Thank
all
you.
All right.
Note. Beautiful. Now he can properly... Oh, I'll so this is very fancy now. It's a little pompous, but everybody now does this. They don't do it the old way, you know. They light it in advance. This is one of the world's great lighters. It's from France. I do not... Oh, we're running out of fluid. You guys want to give me one of my... Okay, I got another one. Doesn't matter. Here we go. This is a regular one. This is a nice one, too. Okay. So I'll now help you. You puff in. Don't inhale.
Don't inhale.
Puff in. No, no, no. Cigars, seriously.
Yeah.
They're not to be inhaled.
That's going to take a little... I mean, the stuff that I
know.
I'm used
okay,
to inhaling.
We have kids watching. Don't
oh,
tell them.
Yeah, no, no. Well,
okay, no,
medicinal.
No,
I have terrible glaucoma.
That's correct. He's funny. That was good. Keep going. Keep going. Come on. No, no, no. Don't be stingy with the flame.
It's hard not to inhale.
Is that true? See, I wouldn't even know how to inhale. You'll choke your lungs if you inhale. You can't.
I just keep doing this?
Yeah.
Are we just going to do this for an hour?
No.
Oh.
Are you getting anything?
I think.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, he really does inhale. It's coming out of his nose. I'm giving the guy lung cancer in 1 minute. It's terrible. You try not to inhale. It is not weed. Do not inhale.
I know. My guys wanted me to cut this thing up and put some weed in there and get Prager stoned.
Oh, that's very funny. Yeah. It wouldn't work because I am the opposite. I don't know how to inhale. Now, the other cut is a V cut where it makes a V and not a hole. It's the. Can everybody see that? Can you see that? It's different.
Go.
I like that.
I got it. Yeah.
All right. So now I'll light up while we talk. So now your video in 2 days has gone viral. I'm very proud of the fact that all our videos do well, but yours has really gone viral. It's almost 3 million in 3 days. It will be 3 million by the time the day is up. To what do you attribute that other than your own talent? And I'm serious, but there's got to be a reason.
Well, first I just want to say how excited I am that some of the hate that you usually get from my people on
right.
the left, that they've been shifting it to me. And I feel like
that is
a
joy.
You've given me a cigar, and I feel like I've now given you that I'm deflecting some of the hate.
Correct.
And I feel like
that
that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
And we're building bridges here.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead.
I think there's a lot of things happening at once right now. I think we're really in a strange political time that we certainly haven't been in my lifetime. Maybe there's another time that you remember that I don't. But the left has gone bananas. I am liberal. We can go through every liberal issue that there is, and I can tell you that, you know, I'm pro-choice. I'm pro-gay marriage. I'm for legalizing marijuana. I'm for reforming the prison system. I'm against the death penalty. I mean, we can go on and on liberal things that we could have a healthy discussion on all of those things and agree maybe on some or not, or agree, disagree or whatever. But the left has just gone bananas. It's become authoritarian to the point that if you disagree with them on anything, you're the bad guy. But it's not even that as much as the idea of collectivism, really, that we will judge everyone by their immutable characteristics. So if you're Asian, we treat you a certain way. And if you're gay, we treat you a certain way. And certainly if you're a white, straight man, you're the biggest enemy of all. And now with a cigar and a fancy office.
No, I embody all that is wrong. Yes.
So, and I've seen this. So for 2 years, as I was telling you earlier on your radio show, for 2 years, I fought this. I saw this coming. I'd like to say that I didn't, but I mean, I really did. And for 2 years, this is what I dedicated myself to, was trying to not get it to this place. But in the last couple of weeks, and especially after Trump and then what happened with Milo at Berkeley and a few other things, it's like, it's a different ballgame now. It really is a different left now. And
well,
here we are.
I, just for the record, I don't know if you know this, but I always make a distinction between left and liberal. I grew up liberal. And here's the irony. I have essentially every value that I grew up with intact, but I'm called a conservative for having the straight liberal values that I had when I grew up. And when you think of John F. Kennedy, Harry Truman, Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, Senator Henry Jackson, these people were liberals. Today, they would be considered right-wing nuts.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Kennedy, more than anybody, probably would be considered a right-wing nut. You wouldn't want to ask what...
Daniel Patrick Moynihan was Democratic senator from New York State, okay? And he is the one who wrote first about the crisis of crime in the inner black city and said it was an issue of no fathers. He was called a racist then. He was a Democrat liberal.
Yeah. I mean, look, that shows you that things have changed. We're not making this up, right? It's funny because you say that about, and I've had a few of my guests, a bunch of people that you know, like Ben Shapiro and Andrew Klavan and a couple other people, say this idea of, I'm a conservative because I'm a liberal.
Yeah.
And what I've been saying on my show now for months is that defending my liberal values is becoming a conservative position. So I spoke recently at Portland State University, and a girl came up to me after, and she said, you know, you should add a little something to that. She said, defending your classical liberal values is becoming a contemporary conservative position.
That's
and
right.
I like that. Because
yes, that's fine.
Because
that's fine.
Adding
right.
that piece to it,
okay.
I think, the contemporary part. The,
yes.
the classical, maybe I can't save liberalism
right.
And classicalism.
Right, fine.
And all that.
Right. It's not. It's an unworthy debate. Because you get into semantics, and I don't mind words. Words are important, but that is not the issue. Right now, if
right.
you have liberal values, you tend to agree with conservatives.
Right.
That's just the way it has happened. The left is look, this was my field of study, the left. I was at the Russian Institute of Columbia. I did communist affairs, leftism, Marxism, the whole thing. The left is true to itself. It has always been totalitarian, not even authoritarian, totalitarian. It has always been. If they're allowed. The campus is the perfect example. Our views or leave.
Yeah.
And the violence. I mean, it is pretty scary, actually.
Well, look, this Nazi stuff. People seem to think we're in Indiana Jones again, and we should all be out there punching Nazis. Now, I know that the two of us are not Nazi fans. I'm going to guess that you probably had members of your family killed in the Holocaust, right?
I didn't, as it happens, but I'm a rare Jew in that I didn't, but most did, yes.
Wow, so you're extremely rare in that case.
Yes.
So I had family members killed on both sides, my father and my mother's side. I grew up knowing Holocaust survivors, grandparents of friends of mine and things like that. And, you know, this concept now that we should be out there punching Nazis is insane.
Which means punching conservatives.
Well, because what really it means is that, first off, there are no Nazis now. A Nazi was a German soldier in 1940. So if you want to talk about white supremacists or whatever.
Right.
But the expanding...
But even neo-Nazis, it's infinitesimally small.
Of course. And the definition of what that is will keep expanding. Mm-hmm. So they'll say, all right, so if you're this Richard Spencer guy, this alt-right guy, you can punch that guy. Okay, fine. But what's going to be next is, well, wait a minute.
Next is you and me.
Right, because did Dave Rubin
right.
have him on his show? I guess I could punch Dave Rubin. And what
well,
you're really saying
right.
also is, you're not just saying you can punch them, you're really saying you can kill them, because you could walk up to somebody and slug them in the face and
right.
actually kill them.
That's
accidentally.
Correct.
And can we blow up their car?
And anyway, if you're really
whatever.
A Nazi, maybe you don't deserve to live. I mean, if you really are an advocate of genocide of races, then, you know, you know, maybe you don't have a warrant to life. I mean, that's what, listen.
But you're not for punching these random Nazis on the street.
No, of course not.
Right. But it's important to make that distinction,
oh, no,
though. Yeah.
No, no, thank you. Yes. Yeah. But it is an, it is, who is the guy, who's Hardball? What's his name again?
Chris Matthews.
Yeah. Chris Matthews said within the last 2 weeks on his program that that Donald Trump is Hitlerian. I mean, and we're talking now mainstream leftists, not talking about crackpots in the street.
In defense of Chris Matthews, he's taken every position ever on every issue.
Well,
ever.
But it's so, not a defense.
That's not a defense. Yeah. But my point is that the
hyperbole with
him.
But it shows you how okay the rhetoric is.
Yeah. Well, look.
What's going to happen when the real Nazis show up? That's my fear. The left has killed the word racist because everyone they differ. If you differed with Barack Obama, it was not because you differed with Barack Obama. You were racist.
Yeah.
That's the whole line of the Democratic Party.
Well, we sort of got into this on your radio show, but I mentioned to you how my awakening to all this was about 2 years ago when Sam Harris was on Real Time with Bill Maher, and he got into this thing with Ben Affleck where he started using Pew polls to say this is what, there are sort of concentric circles in the Muslim world, and you have jihadists who believe in violence. You have Islamists who believe in
Sharia-based society.
But basically using the state against itself, not violently, but to take over the state. Then you have nominal Muslims, like you would have nominal Jews or Christians who may or may not take their faith seriously but want to live in Western society, et cetera. And Ben Affleck's response to that was, you're gross and racist.
Yes.
And suddenly Bill Maher, who had been the liberal standard bearer, who I don't know if you've ever debated him, but you guys would argue
on every topic
ever, suddenly the onus was on him to prove that he wasn't racist. And I saw the way the media ran with it. So the next day, Mediaite, all the websites, Daily Beast, is Bill Maher racist? So the same guy who had fought for every liberal principle, fought for every, you know, black rights, women's rights, gay rights, and every left-wing principle.
Yes.
Suddenly the onus was on him, and that shows you the danger of these words.
Mm-hmm.
And it also shows you just the lack of thinking, because Sam...
By the way, what is racist about a critique of Islam or Muslims? It's not a race. The very notion is absurd.
Of course, and if someone sat here, so it's... Someone's watching this and going, wait a minute, this is easy for two Jews to say because they're talking about Islam. But if someone came in here and was sitting with us and started critiquing the Ten Commandments or...
People do it for a living. No. It's a non-issue.
No, but that's my point.
You could put a crucifix in a glass of your urine, jar of your urine, and it's shown in museums around America. It's called Piss Christ.
Yeah.
Is this guy, does he have guards? There isn't even a term. There's a term Islamophobia. There's a term anti-Semitism. Why is there a term Christophobia?
Right.
Nobody hates Christians.
Well, you'd have to take Family Guy and a million other shows off the air.
That's exactly right.
And also, if you were afraid of making fun of Judaism, Larry David would have a pretty short career.
That's right.
This is the irony, and this is, I can't believe that I now quote George W. Bush on something, but the soft bigotry of low expectations, which is a George W. Bush line. A lot of people don't like admitting it.
Yeah.
It was a writer, one of his speechwriters,
obviously.
But it's
an accurate statement.
But you need every one of us, regardless of whether you're a believer or non-believer or Jew or a Muslim or atheist, whatever the hell you are, you need the ability to make fun of yourself. We all need to be treated publicly with the same respect.
All right, so let me move over to a very sensitive area.
How come you're getting a lot more smoke out of your cigar?
Because I've been doing this since I was 17 years old.
That can't be.
Yeah. Oh, my father gave me a cigar. I fell in love with it. He also gave me, by the way, he gave me some liquor. And I couldn't stand it, and I've never drunk since.
Really?
So I took to one vice. By the way, between the two, this is a lot better to get to get fall in love with than alcohol, I must say.
Fair enough.
But in any event, this is something that is not clear to me. So you're gay.
Yeah.
And why are gays such radical? The spokesman. I know too many individual gays who are not.
Yeah.
But I mean, why is the official gay community so radical?
Well, I don't know that they're so radical, but I would say this, that if for all these years that gay people could not get married, so did not have a simple right that you had to marry your wife, who's a lovely woman sitting right over there, that while we had to fight for equality, and by the way, whether you like the Supreme Court decision or not, they decided it was equal protection under the law,
right,
that we should all be treated equally under the law, and all marriages really, I know there's a biblical or religious part of it for a lot of people, but in terms of a secular society, all it is a contract that two people are entering,
Right.
whatever. So until that moment, 2 years ago, which happened to have been on my birthday, June 26th, until that moment, you sort of had to go Democrat if you were a gay
I
person, in a lot of
understand.
respects,
Right.
just because there was one
Okay.
side, even though it took Barack Obama didn't run pro-gay marriage the first time around, and he sort of got led into it because Biden made that slip up on Meet the Press and all that stuff. But the point is that until equality got there, it fully made sense. But this is the irony of equality. Now that there's equality, gay people are treated equally under the law. That doesn't mean some people don't like gay people, but that's okay.
Some people don't like every
Some
people.
people don't like everybody, right?
Exactly.
And that's, but there shouldn't be laws instituting those things, but you're allowed not to
So how
like
do you
people.
feel? I want to get back to the same-sex marriage in a minute, but how do you feel about, I'm a photographer or a florist. You're gay. I couldn't care less. Take your picture, take your spouse's picture, your partner's picture, not an issue, but I can't participate in your wedding. It violates my religious principles. How do you feel about
You
that
should watch
person?
my video on PragerU because I brought that up
I know that, and I
specifically.
but I
That's a
want
good
people who
lead-in.
didn't see it. Yes.
I personally would not force a photographer
Right.
or a
Exactly. Well,
baker
you're a liberal.
or anyone.
That's my so but the gay community
So I
considers
think,
that person a vile hater.
okay, so this is one of those things where when equality comes and people actually are equal, you don't just that the next day. It's not like all the historical pieces of that and the prejudices and all that, they go away the next day. You know that. You know what I mean? It takes a little time for people to realize, holy cow, it's better now. Like we got justice arrived. So I think now I can sort of help make the gay community realize that now we don't have to fight for, if someone has that belief, if there was a Muslim baker, would I force them to bake my gay Jewish wedding cake? I mean, it's crazy, right? It's
Right, it is
crazy.
crazy,
Right,
yes.
so I think now the next step, and this is the irony of equality, is that the Democrats obviously did more to get gay marriage in place, but now the gay people won't be beholden to them, and gay people might start voting on taxes, or might start voting on foreign policy, or a multitude of other
All
things
right,
that
so
people
let me
are
re raise,
supposed
so
to.
let me, I'll raise an issue you didn't tackle in the video, and I really do want to know your
I
answer.
told you could ask me
So
anything.
for the record, I was for Proposition 8 here in California. I thought that the Constitution should define marriage as a man and a woman. And by the way, my biggest reasoning turns out, I believe, to have been valid. And it had nothing to do with gays. Nothing, ironically. Even though for a gay, it has everything to do with gays. And I understand that. And it was, I said as follows, and I wrote this, I said it, it's all in print. I said for 20 years that the moment we say gender doesn't matter, which is what the marriage argument was, gender doesn't matter, love matters. I said the second we say gender doesn't matter, we are down an inevitably slippery slope of saying gender doesn't matter. And now teachers are told around the country, not in every state, but gradually every state, do not call your third graders boys and girls. You can't impose a gender identity on them because there is no such thing as gender identity.
Yeah. All right. So first I'll agree with you and then I'll disagree with you. My agreement part would be that if I was on my Facebook page, facebook.com/DaveRubin, and you, I'm sure, have this on your page as well, I can list, it lists, we can choose a drop down menu of how we want our gender. And it can,
Yes,
man,
I
male,
know
woman.
there.
Literally,
Yes,
there's one called it.
I know. Well,
It.
it Facebook gives you 56
It.
choices of gender.
But it, that
50,
actually seems
yes, it.
offensive. You can come up with some others that you go, all
Yes.
right, well, you chose that, but it seems bizarrely, that sounds
Well,
like a
it
science
seems
fiction movie.
dehumanizing.
So that part, yes, I understand that piece of it. That being said, look, I think the bigger issue is that if you said to me, look, you were on my show and we discussed this stuff. If you said to me, and you said, I think, what was your line, that your head and your heart aren't in
Correct.
the totally same place on this.
Correct.
So how would I ever win you to my side? Would I win you to my side by demanding, by telling you you're a homophobe and a horrible person and, trying to get you fired from your radio gig and all that? Of course not. But if we can make a little headway here, and you guys are welcome to come over. My husband's a great cook. You can come over for
I met
dinner
him, and
and
it's a non-issue to me. One of, I mean, I know people mock this, but I don't know why. But truly, he called the show today from San Francisco. He and his, in his case, he didn't marry, but his partner is male. They have two kids. We are so close with this couple. They're one of the closest couples we are with. My niece is gay. She and her spouse, her wife. are beloved to us, her children are. But so here is what I adopted, and I tell my listeners, I say, what I am conservative in the macro and compassionate in the micro. And what, or let's put it this way. I want standards in the macro and I want compassion in the micro. Too many conservatives are standards in both, and too many on the left are compassionate in both. I wasn't prepared to redefine marriage. It has happened. It is a non-issue. I will happily, if he's a good cook.
He's a great cook.
Okay, but my wife's vegetarian.
Not a problem.
Okay, then yeah, fine. So yeah. We're coming over. Right. Okay, not an issue. But, of course, it's not an issue. I mean, it's no. a joke. I mean, it's an issue.
Like, I'm with you. I'm with you.
It's a non-issue. Yeah. Fine. But my worry is happening when Walmart can't have a boy's toy section and a girl's toy section. They can't have pink for girls and blue for boys, and you have obliterated. And the cover of National Geographic is a nine-year-old who says he is a girl, when at nine, you can't say that yet.
So I get that stuff. I really do get that, and I have sympathy to that, and I understand that line of reasoning. That being said, I don't think that in and of itself is enough to make two consenting adults.
Right,
not
okay,
be
that's
to.
Fair.
So
but,
I know we're sort of splitting hairs here.
I fully understand your battle, and I want you to understand ours. That's all, and which we do.
Yeah.
So what has happened to you? You get a lot. I can't believe it. Like, are you a defector now to the gay community?
Well,
you had Prager on your show, and I'm serious.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've had other wildly hateful people like Ben Shapiro and Andrew Klavan on there.
So,
you know, you're just in the...
Yes, just in that crowd. Yes, right, yes.
So am I a defector? Look, I think that the idea that just because your sexuality is one thing, your political leanings would be something. You know what I mean? Your political leanings, how you feel about firearms or how you feel about economics or foreign policy, really should have nothing to do with your sexuality. So as I said, now that it's been decoupled because we have equality, well, now I think you're going to see gay people voting just the way everyone else should. So how the gay community treats me, I mean, it's not a monolith. I don't really care, to be honest with you.
No, that's
you.
That's the right answer.
Yeah,
that's
in
the final, right. You have to answer to God or your higher power or whatever it is that you answer to. But
even on my show, the way the economics of my show work, we're on Patreon, which is a fan funding thing. So I have about 3,000 people that basically fund the operation for my show. I don't really know their political beliefs. I know a little bit about them, but they're all over the place. I think it skews a little more libertarian, disproportionate to Democrat and Republican in the American scheme of things. But I don't know that. And that's a beautiful thing because I have to do what I think is right.
Why is the gay, official gay community so hateful of Trump? Trump cares about same-sex marriage as much as he cares about marbles in China.
Trump does not care about gay
marriage.
Correct.
So why? And he's never talked against it. Why is the gay community among the great marchers of hate of Trump?
Because this is what the left has done. It's holding everyone hostage by not what's actually real, but what feels like it's real. So I can tell you, I had Donald Trump Jr. on my SiriusXM show about 5 years ago when his dad was firmly against gay marriage, before he was running for president, obviously.
Oh, he was? And Donald Trump was against gay marriage?
At one time.
I'm
shocked. At that time.
I am very shocked. I never heard that.
Yeah, at that time he was, but he wasn't in public office, and who knows?
Okay.
Maybe the next day he was for it.
Okay.
Because
I
think even though you support him, you would agree his positions.
Yes, okay, fair.
All that stuff. But anyway, I had Trump Jr. on, and he came on my show and said, I'm for gay marriage. My dad isn't, but he always taught us to be ourselves and say what we think and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, that's a pretty great... I mean, that's what a father is supposed to do, but it's a pretty great thing. I mean, his son didn't have to come on my show, certainly didn't
that's
have
correct.
To talk about this.
Yes.
So as far as... Peter Thiel spoke at the Republican National Convention, got a standing ovation when he said, I'm a proud gay man. Donald Trump then talked about gay rights, and they gave him an applause break. So this is what I've tried to, and this is what I've been doing with the left. I've been trying to explain liberals. I've been trying to explain to liberals, who did you hate the most over these last 8 years? You hated Christian conservatives. That's what the left has hated the most. Well, Trump doesn't care about gay marriage at all. And that seems to be the Christian conservatives' number one issue. So if you don't give somebody credit a little bit when they do something good, then eventually they'll go, I have no use for you at all. So it's a little bit of real politic. You know what I mean? Like, when good things happen, you have to acknowledge them. Simple as that.
Right. So I want to tell you, this is the thing that I find most disconnected from reality, is that conservatives are haters. I truly believe it's projection. And I have done the following experiment. You will love this. I have talked very often to an audience of 1,000. And I will do the follow. And the vast majority, in most cases, are conservative. So I will say, okay, folks, I want a show of hands. You have two choices for the 9 members of the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, here's choice number one. White male Christian leftists or black lesbian conservatives.
Yeah.
Vote, who votes for number one? Not one hand of 1,000. Who votes for the black lesbian conservatives? We care about values. We don't give a damn about color. We don't give a damn about orientation. We care about values. And this is the thing that we are saddled with, this lie of hate, and it's, you can combat it. You can combat it better than I, that perception.
Well, look.
I'll personalize it.
Yeah.
To the extent that you can have a read at all of a human, do I strike you as a hater? All right, okay, fine, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, who would give a guy such a good cigar if he was a hater? But I mean,
there's a reason I'm sitting here with you. There's a reason I wanted.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, the first time we met was on Larry King's show, and it was sort of when I was just I was sort of at the beginning of some of this awakening, and I don't think you knew who I was, and you said in the middle of it, you said, "Well, I can't believe that if I can agree with Dave Rubin," and I don't think you knew who I was before, but the point was, you saw a little like, oh, there's a bridge to be built
here. That's right.
And that's what I think is interesting now. And this is why now the left, why I'm getting so much hate now, is because I sat down with you. The next week, I sat down with Glenn Beck. Now, I don't know what you think of Glenn, but I saw a guy who
he's
really...
He's a sincere
Listen, he's done
guy.
Some crazy things.
I don't
things.
Agree with him on various stuff. It doesn't matter. He has his heart in a good place, and he's the opposite of a hater.
So I see a lot of room to build bridges there. I see a lot of room to go, all right, here are some conservatives that aren't these, you know, because everyone will say, well, he's a far right nutbag, or what we say.
Right, but they never give an example. That's the amazing thing. Not one in all of the attacks on
far right nutjob.
Yes, right, but that's all they have to say.
Yeah.
There is no basis for the claim.
Well, this is 2017, Dennis.
Yeah.
You want a basis for a claim?
Yeah. No. That is a very sad thing. So are we going to take questions here? What's the story here?
I think
in case you're just tuning in.
Did I
love that. Yeah, I
got
to
went
relight.
Out here.
I got to know.
Is that a rookie mistake?
Joy or? To relight you, my friend. Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. By the way, if you don't like it, you don't have to smoke it. While I do want to cultivate love of cigars in you, I rather build bridges. This is my secondary.
I may choke
aim.
While walking.
Can
over
I
the
light
bridge?
This for you? Would
yeah.
you be offended?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Fine. I have pure lips.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. What's the question? Do we have one here? How do Dennis and Dave, how do classical liberals, here, 1 second. How do classical liberals differ from modern conservatives? In my opinion, there's really only one area, and that would be the largeness of government. That would be it, because conservatives have always been for as limited government as possible, and liberals have been for an expansion of government.
Right, so then I guess the real question then would be, how do you differentiate between a classical liberal and a libertarian? Because that's really the only way I would do that, is I would say a classical liberal sees a little more use for
than
a pure libertarian. So I think that's really what the
right,
question
but
is.
Right, but I'm not a libertarian, by the way, just for the record. I mean, obviously, I agree with them on a lot of economic stuff, but foreign policy and other stuff, but it doesn't matter. But that answers that. Okay. I'm curious to get both of your thoughts on President Trump's controversial travel ban executive order. You want to comment?
Yeah, so I did a video about this last week. And first, this also goes to the hysteria.
Oh,
the hysteria of the media. Everyone, all the reporters, all these same reporters who got everything wrong the entire time, immediately jumping with that. You know these people did not read it. I read it. I actually read the order.
Right.
I printed it out and read it, okay, the whole thing. So look, first off, to say it was a Muslim ban, it was not a Muslim ban because it didn't even include the 5 largest Muslim countries, which is over 750 million people. Now, there are odd things that it did. Why didn't it include Saudi Arabia, where we know 19 of the 21 hijackers came from?
Right.
Why didn't it include Pakistan, which we know is a hotbed of terror? So there's and maybe the layout, the rollout of it was bad. Like, there's a zillion reasons you can say this shouldn't be done via executive order. Plenty of junk that you can talk about with it. The hysteria about it, though, that it was a Muslim ban, just simply isn't true. Really, almost 3/4 of the Muslims on Earth were not included in this ban. That being said, I have friends, a guy who you absolutely should talk to, who I think you would love, who's a classical liberal, my friend Faisal Sayed Al-Matar. He's a refugee from Iraq. His brother was killed in Iraq by Al-Qaeda. He moved here about 3 years ago. He's on a green card. He has devoted his entire life to fighting Islamism, fighting for secularism and Western values.
I'm having every Muslim who wants to do that, if they come on my show.
I think at this point he probably considers himself an ex-Muslim, which is also interesting for you to talk to.
Yes.
But the most interesting thing is that he now is in a little bit of a gray area because of the green card issue that's still unclear, where he could potentially go to Canada. And then if he gets an immigration officer that just has a bad attitude or he answers something the wrong way, he could end up back in Iraq, where he literally could be killed. So there's all sorts of problems with the rollout. But the hysteria it's like saying racist bigot to everything.
That's
the second he tries to do something that he said he was going to do, by the way.
Yeah.
A scaled back version of it, you can't go bonkers.
Hysteria. I thought in my book, Still the Best Hope, about American values versus Islamist values, I should say, Islamist values and leftist values. It's 3 books in one. And it's like an ad for my book, but I don't care, because I worked so hard on this. I have a whole chapter on left-wing hysteria. My whole life I have seen it. Every issue there's hysteria over. And it's exaggerated. I think there's hysteria over carbon emissions, frankly. And there are terrible results. I used to think it was a tactic of the left. Now it's worse. They believe their hysteria. So it makes the left even more frightening, because they're true believers in every new hysteria. There was hysteria over the groping comment.
Yeah.
That was pure hysteria. It was a disgusting little nothing comment of a big, almost a childish guy to another guy in private. And he did say in it, they give you permission.
Yeah.
So you can't even argue that it was assault. It's gross. It's not misogyny.
Well, also,
but it's just hysteria after hysteria.
But there's also a difference between words and actions.
Yes.
Which is what I kept saying the entire time. If it had come out, if someone had showed us evidence or there was videotape of him literally grabbing a woman that did not want to be grabbed, then course that is different. But saying things,
I would agree with you.
I'm going to guess that even Dennis Prager, one of the most moral people I know, has said some things privately to your friends that you wouldn't want.
Listen, I'm on record as I wrote a piece in the 90s in the Wall Street Journal defending Hillary Clinton as a Jew, author of a book on anti-Semitism. I said, there's no doubt that she said about is an effing Jew to this guy who she blamed for her husband's lost congressional campaign. And I said, so what? This doesn't make her an anti-Semite. If you heard what I say about drivers who are slow in the left lane, I have been against every race, creed, color in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And if the guy's wearing a yarmulke, I go, these Jews.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the Orthodox that are in L.A., with the big bull hat and everything when it's 95 degrees, can you admit that? Come on. Give me a little something there.
Well, you know what? I'm okay.
I don't wear it.
Okay. It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, I'm not putting him in jail.
Yes,
I'm just saying.
Fine.
Everything being equal.
Okay. But nevertheless, the hysteria part of the left is a frightening thing, and people get caught up in it. So here is my question, and this is a totally sincere one. See, I think that once you have seen, and I don't want to make this sound theological, but once the door is opened, this is why they're hating you now. Once you differ with them and see the tactics, they are worried. They won't admit it, but they are worried that you may, in fact, end up the C word, conservative.
Yeah.
And because you made a list, putting aside the same-sex marriage and stuff, which is now the law. So fine. So capital punishment. We differ on capital punishment. George Will is against capital punishment. Mm-hmm. There are liberals who are for capital punishment. So fine. So we would debate that.
The whole point of being liberal is that you're allowed to disagree with some of the people that
that's the assumption.
Respect with,
right. So I want you to continue to say you're a liberal because you're of great use to good values.
Well, don't worry, I'm not doing it for your use of me. I'm doing it for myself.
No. Yeah. It's like Christians who say to me, you know, oh, we would love you to come to Christ, but you are so valuable to us as a Jew when you defend us Christians.
Yeah.
And they're right. You are valuable in the best sense of the word, because America needs people who are clearly liberal and to be honest, and fall into the category of kosher as gay,
yeah,
to say, hey, hello, the conservatives are not hate mongers. Hello, they should be heard. And maybe every so often you should read National Review,
right,
or watch a PragerU video.
Well, that's what I mean about you're never going to bludgeon someone into getting their beliefs to come around to yours.
And well,
they think they can. So that's why they use all these words, because they think if they use them enough, they'll either silence you to the point of irrelevancy, or that you'll sort of just have to crawl to them because you'll have been beaten that badly. But as I said before, with the gay marriage thing, even at the end of the day, if you told me your heart and head were not, you know, quite matched up, but you've really decided you're just not for gay marriage, but we could have this conversation, I still, though I wouldn't be thrilled with you, and probably privately I'd go, man, Prager, like, you know,
right,
I could actually still have you in my house and be okay with that.
I'm totally comfortable in your house. Yeah. That's the point. I know you're married to a man. I understand that.
Yeah.
I guess this
sales. I'm not going to force you to marry a man.
Well, that's right. I know. I understand that.
Yeah,
Dave, given the roots of progressivism, prohibition, eugenics, etc., should you rethink your implication that progressivism has only recently turned regressive?
So a few people have asked me this kind of thing. Like, they'll say, well, you're just waking up late, which I think is a sort of through line when I've talked to Shapiro and Klavan and you. Like,
right,
you guys are going, well, yeah, we saw this.
Welcome.
Ben is younger than me, so maybe he's just smarter than me. The guy's a bright guy.
You're a bright guy. There's no brighter and not bright.
But my point is, he maybe saw something that
that's not a matter of brightness. That is, to me, and I'm serious about that, it's a very important thing. Most people are bright, believe it or not. I actually have this theory. They don't think clearly. The issue is clarity, not brightness. Okay?
That
in America today, most hate comes from the left is not brightness. It's just clarity.
I would say this, that over the course of the last 2 years, and as we said, you guys laid out in the PragerU video, I mean, I worked for the Young Turks. I worked for a far left progressive network. They were not that way. It was more liberal. Something happened to the progressives in the last 2 years. I don't know exactly what it was. Maybe it was a combination of Obama not being the progressive that they wanted him to be. I think it was partly all the stuff going on with Islam. There was just like a series of things that they've just gone crazy. I think you would agree that something has happened in the last 2 years.
Well,
that even if you saw something else, do you think it's exactly the same? Really?
I think that it's progressive. I do. Because the notion that if you believe that the greatest problem afflicting Black America is lack of family structure, lack of fathers, not racism, you are definitionally a racist to the left, and that has been true since Moynihan said it in the 20th century.
Yeah, and now look how they treat Larry Elder, who's a Black conservative,
who
says that. I mean, they use every... But so think about that. So what do they do? So they take a guy like Larry Elder, who I've had on my show many times, and by the way, a lot of my awakening had to do with the first time he was on my show, and I kept talking about systemic racism, and he really turned it on me what laws are you talking about?
Or not even really, laws, but even practices.
Yeah, not to say there isn't actual racism, because of course,
again,
so you're allowed
to... There's actual anti-Semitism, but America is the least anti-Semitic country Jews have ever lived in, and it's the least racist country Blacks have ever lived in.
Yeah, so... This is what they do, though. So they'll take a guy that, like Larry Elder, who gets off the reservation, and now he's an Uncle Tom. They'll take a guy like Majid Nawaz, who's another one that you should absolutely talk to, who was a former Islamist, who I've had on my show. He was in an Egyptian prison for years under Mubarak. He was trying to undermine the government of Egypt. He now lives his life to reform. He has an organization called Qillium in the UK where he lives his life to now reform Islam. He's treated horribly by the left. So this is only obvious. So now they're going to see me and go, ah, he's another one off the reservation. But I'd rather be with Larry Elder and
right,
Majid,
but it is a reservation.
Yeah.
That's the irony. It's like an enclave of a bubbled thought, like the university. How much time do we have, guys? A few more, okay. Dennis and Dave, why does tolerance mean not just respecting someone who's different, but being required to like what is different? Yes, I would put it a different way. Tolerance has been redefined to acceptance.
Yeah.
Agreement. Tolerance is not agreement. Tolerance is tolerance.
Right. So tolerance, you have to tolerate somebody, meaning you can't assault them on the street. You have to live by the laws
that
we have.
Right. Yes.
I don't think you have to. You don't have to like me. I'm really okay with
I
that.
I like you.
Yeah, but you don't have to. And I don't mean just you. I mean
anyone.
No,
one doesn't.
But
that's
anyone
exactly
watching
right.
this, you don't have to
or
like
certainly,
me. You don't
and
have
one
to...
doesn't have to agree with me. But we have to be civil to one another.
Yeah. And if your knee-jerk response is, you know, the other thing that I see is, so they'll say, you're bigot, you're racist. The other one is, well, you're obviously a sellout of some kind. So somehow, however you make your living, you figured out a way to trick the system, and now you're making your living through selling it out. As I said to you before, I don't even know what the people who fund me, I don't even know what their political leanings are. So they're looking for something in you that they can just pin every other little thing on. It's nothing that you've ever figured it out, but they're going to figure out something that is deep within you. And once they can grab that, now they can get you in every other way.
All right, so you know what? I won't be able to take more. I'm going to ask you, I asked you this privately.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask it to you publicly because I am a big believer in openness in the best sense of the word. And it's asked out of human curiosity. I have no agenda in this question. And because you know I asked it to you privately, so obviously I had no agenda. I have studied human sexuality my whole life. I intend to write a book on men and women. I do have a male-female hour. Men, male sexuality, whether gay or straight, is to have as many partners as possible. Whether it's evolution or divine design or whatever it is, that's what we're made to be. So what keeps most men faithful? It's the woman he's married to, who is not of that. Generally, women are not variety, or I have to have another male body, but heterosexual men another female body, and homosexual men another male body. So since you are married to a man, it's a tougher road for you to hoe, is it not?
Ho is an interesting way to put that.
Well, ho
that
was, in the sense of hoeing a road, not ho.
We have something good here,
fine.
Because you're very literal.
I'm very, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I would say this, the world is what you make of it. So, of course, there may be genetic reasons that men want to procreate more, or men want sex more, and women don't, and women want to take care of the home and all that. I would say everyone's different. At the end of the day, everyone's different. There may be, yes, you can probably point me to some studies that would show trends of certain things. I don't
right.
deny that. I'm also 40, like my, you know, not just, I have certainly a healthy sex drive, but it's not the way it was when I was 21. And now I'm married. So
that's what marriage will do to you.
And that actually isn't even indicative of my marriage, so I'll even retract that one. I would just say it really depends on the person.
Right.
There are probably plenty of couples that you've known for 30 years that have great sex lives, are constantly having sex. And then there are probably couples that you know that have been married for 30 years that basically never have sex and still are very happy, or some that hate each other.
That is fair.
Right, I don't... So I would really put it on the individual, which is the through line to everything that I believe
in. So is it a values issue? By the way, I salute that you have said, look, a home life beats a bar life.
Yeah, of course it beats it. But think of the irony of that, too. So you had all these people for all this time that were saying, well, gay people can't get married. And then what would they do, especially the Christian conservatives, would say, well, look at the gays. And they'd show you the gay parade, and there's a guy in a harness and a weird thing and all that stuff. Which, by the way, a lot of people in the gay community were going, you know, we got to stop doing this.
You do.
And Harvey Milk, right. I mean, you could watch the movie Milk. He even said when he started going legit, he said, you know, we're going to have to stop doing some of that stuff. Now, you can argue whether that stuff is purely male stuff, as you just said, if you happen to be a male.
Well, it is largely male.
Right,
it
that
is,
it's just a male thing.
Yes.
But you have to give people the opportunity to change. And that's why equality under the law is so important. Because I think 20 years from now, you might get a different answer to that question, that it will have become so normal and irrelevant. And people won't have to act out. You know, if you're 17 or you're a 15-year-old kid, gay kid now, and you can't get your sexuality out in a healthy way, well, then, yes, you might turn more to drugs. And there's plenty of evidence that that is. And I've done plenty of things in my life. So, you know what I mean? Like, if you just give people the opportunity to just be human, I think that really is the key to the whole thing.
Right. Well, we'll certainly see.
How was that for an ending? I thought that was...
No, this is powerful stuff. You're a joy. You really are.
Likewise.
I'm very happy we're in each other's life.
What am I going to do with the
rest
of this
now? I don't have
much
hope for you on cigars, I have to say. I have hope for you...
This not inhaling thing, it seemed...
But not cigar-wise.
But not inhaling, it seems ridiculous.
No, let me explain why.
Will you come to my house and let me roll a blunt?
You can roll anything you want. I will not partake. I really loathe anything that tampers with the brain, even when I was in high school. That's one thing. I experimented a lot of things, but not that stuff.
I'll get you a nice God indica. You'll lay on the couch, watch Star Wars. Trust me, it's great.
I am naturally high. I don't even need caffeine in the morning. Wake up, yes. Very fortunate. I am in a permanent sort of high. I really am. I'm blessed. I thank God for my disposition, but that's a separate issue. Anyway, folks, how do I end these things? Do I have a normal ending? Do I just
watch
say...
the video with Dave, the PragerU video.
Yes, of
what
course.
What a team around
that's
here.
Right.
Huh?
Yes, yeah, I have a great team. I'm blessed. That's another blessing. Yes, watch his PragerU video. Watch all the PragerU videos. I want people to think clearly. That's all I ask. Whether we agree on every subject is another... How could we agree on every... It's not possible. There's a great, I'll end with a great line, because I studied at a yeshiva till I was 18, and I've written books on Judaism. There's a great line when the rabbis, and all they do in the biggest book of Judaism, the Talmud, is debate. They just argue and argue and argue. And you know there's a famous phrase, Elu va'elu divrei Elohim chayim. This guy's statements and this guy's statements, they are both statements of the living God, even though they differ. And I got the chills telling you this. If we could understand that that's possible, there are opinions that are not the words of the living God. A truly racist statement is beyond purview in that regard. It's over the line. But that's not what's happening. Any difference is condemned as hate and so on. You're courageous, and that's the greatest compliment I can give you. Be well, my friend.
Likewise.
Thanks for watching, everybody. See you next week.